This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Three nil.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to American Red Devils Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? Manchester United do the job. Leg one of the EFL Cup semifinals against Nottingham Forest. Even Jesse Lingard showed up at the end. Red hot Rashford continues his scoring streak. Big Vout has his say. Gets a goal. Scrappy, I love it all day. And then Bruno kills off the tie in the second half with a nice goal and a nice all-around game. Casemiro was back. Martinez, man of the match, played terrific. And most importantly, back to winning, baby. We had a tough week. Dropped points. Lost to Arsenal. But now we got to lick our wounds, move on with our lives, and there's a lot of season left to play. This is truly, truly where things are going to become a marathon or a sprint or a marathon of sprints, because we're going like every 3 days for the next month. It's going to be wild. How we doing, sir?
It's the top 10 marathon of sprints. If you're listening to this pod, you know what I'm talking about. We're talking EFL Cup action, a.k.a. Carabao Cup. Baby, I love myself some Carabao Cup. You know why? Because we're going to be thinking about winning a trophy, and man, this competition, it is everything we need. Last time we won the Carabao Cup, 16-17, wasn't technically the last trophy. That was the EFL. That was the Europa League trophy because of timing and when they played the finals. But the Carabao Cup, 16-17, sir, same season technically. I'm going by the date.
Tell them the background. Tell them the context of the date. For us.
The context of the day is the day after we won the Europa League in 2017, we decided to create this very podcast. And since we've created that podcast, this podcast, we have not seen Manchester United win a trophy. I don't know if we've cursed this great team and great club of ours, but I think we're about to break that curse with the Carabao Cup. And the reason why we're confident is because in the other semifinal, it is Southampton versus Newcastle United. Newcastle won 1-0, so it looks like we will be seeing them in the final at Wembley Stadium, and that will be played Sunday, February 26th. So something to be really excited about for Manchester United fans, especially because we are in good form. It's 4 weeks away. If Rashford keeps this up right now, he's the top scorer in the competition with 5 goals. We could easily be lifting some silverware. And I like said it, we're thirsty for trophies. We're hungry for signings. We're not getting any signings, so might as well get some trophies.
We are not getting any signings, sir. Other clubs are busy. They are staying busy in January. Some of them looking for a finish in the top four. And us, you know, we're going to have to will it with the squad that we have in place today. But everything you said is true, sir. It's like we have our eyes on a cup competition that we can win early in the season, relatively early. Erik ten Hag, he knows how important it is to return this great club back to lifting silverware. Obviously, this is not the type of silverware we all aspire for, but we'll take it when it's been a 6-7 year drought. And he's a new manager trying to put his print on the club. He already has in many ways. We can go into the list, but it's a great opportunity for silverware. Also, Newcastle top side at the moment, right? They're right above us in the league. They're much better than the Newcastles of the last couple decades. But we could be playing a City. We could be playing an Arsenal. We could be playing a cheeky, even Chelsea or Liverpool and Newcastle. You know, we drew them last time we played 0-0, but they've got a great defense, but they are a winnable opponent and a great opportunity for this team to pick up some silverware early in the season and then propel us for future honors later in the year.
And what would that do for this manager? Oof. At this point in time, 6 months into the rebuild, fighting with one arm behind his back. I mean, I kind of felt it's called the poor man's double, sir. The EFL Cup and the Europa League. That's that right. Jose Mourinho did, and that cursed him in that famous season we're discussing. Ten Hag could be up for the poor man's double. I would take it because it guarantees us Champions League, lifting a couple of trophies. I think we're on our way to lift one and have a nervy battle for top four. So, again, the final's really opening up for us, and the last time a final opened up for us that we thought we would win, it was against the Yellow Submarine in Gdansk.
We did go to a final, didn't we? Yeah. That was a final.
This podcast and finals. It's not all about this pod, but at the end of the day, it's been a rough couple of years.
I don't think it's just the pod, sir. You speak for a lot of Manchester United fans.
And Eric Ten Hag is that spark. He's that hope. And look, a 3-0, like, this is how Manchester United should be winning. You know, dominant performance away at Forest. Players in form can take, like, look, Wout gets a goal. Hey, Wout haters, like me, got to take a step back. Hey, man, good finish. Well done, you know. So maybe he's listening. I'm just giving that little extra fire in his belly to run around those long legs.
He's tall. I'll tell you, he is tall.
Hey, tricky finish. That was a big goal for us.
Yep.
You know, they were kind of knocking Eriksen off the bar. Casemiro, you know, wasn't his best match. But overall, this is the type of team win we need. And it's really moving on to Reading and the FA Cup and just keeping the action on in these cup competitions. Because like I said, it's all about winning something and then getting that top four. If Ten Hag does that, he's our hero.
No, absolutely. That's the bar for the season. We've got eyes on a piece of silverware that's attainable, that's winnable, that's within sight, you know, a month away if we do what we need to do in order to get there. I do think what you said last pod kind of got deep inside of me, and I start to realize that, like, I think you're right. Like, top four ain't done yet by any means. This team has not dropped in form at all. We haven't had any real major issues. If you think about, like, the five most critical players on this team, and we're going to get some injuries, and we're going to drop in form. And I think top four, if you look around, the rest of the clubs in the league are still leaning in. Arsenal are signing players. City aren't, but Spurs are. You know, they're right behind us. They're nipping at our heels. Even the Fulhams of the world, the lead scum of the world, they're signing American talent.
This guy's afraid of Spurs. This guy's afraid of Tottenham over
just
here.
You literally said the same thing last spot. I just want to point that out. For what it's worth, this guy also said the same thing. I'm just saying it's because you're Conte's boy. Let's roll back
Conte's
the videotape.
Conte's guy is shaking in your boots.
Let's roll back the videotape.
Shaking in his boots.
Conte. I'll tell you what, I'll take his plug guy. Whoever his hair plug guy is, you can call me. I could be a new client. But other than that, we got the right manager. There's a lot of games left. There's a lot to play for. And Europa League, that might be the hardest one, honestly, that we're left in, because, like, an informed Barcelona, I'm okay if we get knocked out next round. I want us to get the EFL Cup. Okay. Tell me what you... This guy laughing.
You want to get knocked out of the Europa League?
We have so many matches that it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if we were getting knocked out by Barcelona. I'm just saying. Like, you need another Europa League? You want to stack your... I'd rather have an FA Cup. And an EFL Cup,
then
an EFL Cup, and a Europa League. Yeah, play Claro, see. And I know this manager doesn't want to be like, yeah, we want
to
get knocked out.
Play it. You don't play to just play it. You play to win. You play to win. Play to win at Barcelona. Look, it's all to play for. There's a lot of games. We have a thin squad. Palestri got in today. That was a great sign. You know, so I think he's going to have to use more bodies. And I think he's going to go full strength to get this EFL Cup. That's the right move. And then when it kind of gets in the Europa League and then the league, he's got to juggle and balance it a little bit between the two, because we've seen that not play out well. Look, quick PSA for the podcast. Apologies, we're doing it remote. I'm a little under the weather. Apologies for the raspy voice. Alex is trying not to get Alex sick today. But if you like the American Red Devils and you want to support independent fan content, please check out our Patreon page. It's 2023. We don't have any ads on the pod. We want to be supported directly by you, the fans. That is the OG way to go. We don't want to be hawking you and pitching you things that we don't care about and you don't care about. It's just a waste of everyone's time. Let's just keep it about that Muppet take from the couch. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanDevil. Sign up. Get a ton of benefits. Please check it out. It's a great community. It's the creme de la creme of this amazing community, sir. Check out our website, AmericanDevils.com. Also our store, AmericanDevils.store. We have great merchandise. It's cheap. It's great stuff. Scarves, shirts, etc. You buy it. Alex ships it out of his garage directly to you. Muppet, made by Muppets, for Muppets. Everything you buy supports these crazy takes we have about this amazing team. Sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
Speaking of Muppets, a great way for all the Muppets that call themselves an American Devil to get themselves some free merch and support the pod is write a 5-star review wherever you listen, ideally on iTunes or Spotify. And then even better, if you send a screenshot of that review to AmericanDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, I will personally pick, pack, and ship a free Glazer Out American Devil scarf right to your door anywhere in the world. They're going fast. Half my day these days are sending out scarves, sir. We love it. Here's a great review from Floptimus Prime. 5 stars, best MUFC podcast. Quickly become my favorite Red Devils pod out there. Love all the analysis and great banter. Always getting content out as quick as possible. Appreciate you. Appreciate everyone writing 5-star reviews. We couldn't do it without you. Like John mentioned, join Patreons for the elite with special bonus benefits as well. But anyway, let's talk about this match, sir. Nottingham Forest, 0. Manchester United, 3. Jesse Lingard, 0. First leg done and dusted. How are we feeling? Do we have John?
Sir, I'm back. He's back. Being on mute and talking to myself. Jesse Lingard, you know, ate too many quarter pounders. He is out. Could not feature in this game. That is the EFL Cup semifinals, leg 1. He did drop a podcast talking about Manchester United in some more vein.
Did you hear that?
I ain't nobody got time to listen to that podcast, but you know, I got the.
Tell what you really think.
I got the gist of it. Look, I like Jesse. You know, won us an FA Cup with LVG. You know, I felt like. I think he has some personal stuff go on and never came back. And I agree, like everything at the club didn't treat him well. So, you know, I just jest about Jesse Lingard. It might just be the goatee or all the, you know, all the
dancing,
all the finger signs and dancing and everything. That I just felt like he never reached his potential. And you don't like to see that. Jumping in the lineup, Jesse Lingard aside here, sir. 1 second here, trying to get my computer to work. I can't even see this lineup.
I'll give you 11. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. We got Dave Stays in net. Who else? A back four.
Rule number one.
What? Dave Stays in net? That's rule number one?
I said it. He's world number one.
World number one.
He's the world number one. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. There you go. Malacia, Martinez, Lindelof, Wan-Bissaka. Lindelof getting a run at it. And then it's the midfield. That midfield back in business, baby. We got Bruno at number 10, Eriksen next to Casemiro, front three of Wout Weghorst, Rashford on the left, Antony on the right. Sir, when you saw this 11, what did you think?
Strong team. Strong team. Everyone aside from, you know, Wout, Lindelof, Malacia, you know, I do like it. I mean, look at the spot. Eriksen, Bruno, and Casemiro, Rashford, Antony. Very strong team. This team's got to do the job. I mean, it's Nottingham Forest. And let's jump right into that.
Let's jump into it. Indeed. United started the game firmly in control. They slowly let Forest kind of back into it, but that was after Rashford had his say early in the game in the 5th minute.
Marcus Rashford. Gets a little bit of fortune, and Rashford takes full advantage. And scores for the 9th time in the last 10 games. You've got Worrell and...
I'll tell you what, I definitely don't need to hear any more of Craig Burley's voice. But what a goal from Marcus Rashford. Just in confidence, unbelievable form at the moment, higher level than we've ever seen in his career. Let's be honest. He's never played this well, and he just looks like he's enjoying football so much at the moment. The cutback, I think he gets a little bit of a lucky bounce, but when you're in this type of form, you make your own luck. And then just a great finish on his quote-unquote weak foot. Sorry, we got a hell of a player in Marcus Rashford.
What a goal. I mean, it seems like it's all coming up roses for Marcus. He splits the defenders. Ball falls right at his foot. Easy finish. His trademark celebration pointing at his head. That is a reference to his mental health last season. He said he wasn't doing well. His mental health off the pitch affected his game on the pitch, and he has sorted it out. And what a celebration to like acknowledge that and to show that he has hit top form and he is doing great. And you love to see, it's born and bred. Marcus Rashford is red, you know, and it's just something you want to see. It's what we've always wanted out of the academy, and boy, is he blossoming. Just don't leave us, Marcus. Just don't leave us. Yeah, that's all I ask. Sir, 8th minute, Antony goes close with his left foot. He dips his shoulder. This one was really close. I have to give it to our 80 million pound man. He should have probably had this goal. He's due for a goal here. 23rd minute, United caught sleeping. We concede on the break. Lindelof kind of in no man's land here. But VAR overturns it. I feel like it would have been a much different game. We let this goal in. Away. Yeah. Yeah. Nottingham Forest. Like absolutely ripping. I feel like it would have been a totally different game at the City Ground if this goal was allowed to stand.
100%. Changed the game. And Lindelof did not start particularly well, even though United played well. He did look like he was out of position a number of times. That one especially, and there's another one right after this chance, but changes the game. He was definitely offside, but we're lucky because I don't think VAR shows up in the EFL Cup before the semis. So gotta look, you know, VAR cuts your way sometimes, cuts against you the other days, and that's just the way the VAR gods work, sir. They are just.
26 minute, Lindelof whiffs badly, but Martinez saves the day. You love to see him stepping up big for United. 27th minute, De Gea with a nice volley. Forrest had some opportunities. We did handily beat them on XG. So I don't really think they made the most of their chances or got too dangerous. Their chances weren't too dangerous here. 32nd minute, Antony with a nice chance. Saved after a good 1-2. I think he could do a little better here on this one, but that was amazing build-up play for Manchester United. Hopefully that's a sign of the chemistry to come with Antony.
And I thought you saw a little bit more from today. Like, he didn't get his goal, but he was drifting inside, which was nice to see. He still has that issue with taking a man on. I don't think he has the confidence to take a man on like Rashford or Garnacho, but he had a good chance here. Probably should have scored, like you said. He had another good chance in the second half. And game by game, sir. He's a young kid. He's 22.
He still has an issue. Still has an issue justifying the price tag, yes.
Well, as anyone would at 85 million pounds.
Hey, someone justifying the price tag. Wow, there it is.
here we go. The 45th minute, Dutchman making his mark for the first time at Manchester United.
And today, and the follow-up from Weghorst doubles Manchester United's lead right on the cusp of halftime.
Talk about when you want to score a goal. Not all goals are created equal. United get their early goal, had a lot of control, didn't quite have the same impetus throughout all the first half, and then you get a good goal at the end. Antony with a nice strike, does well there, but wow, that's why he's brought in to do, sir. He's brought in to smash it in to the net, 6-yard box, and just get the goal over the line. Does well to keep the ball under the bar. And he can't fault it. He gets off the mark exactly what he needed. I thought his build-up play was good today, but ultimately, like he even said, a striker is judged on goals and goals first and foremost, and he finally gets off the mark, so that's great to see.
Yeah, look, a big goal for him. Let's hope it's one of many. Let's hope the return on the Wout Weghorst investment increases over time. We're going to need goals from somebody. Rumor is we might be linked to another striker in January. We'll see. Difficult finish, honestly, and his movement he's active up there for a big man. Usually the big man just kind of hangs around, like Andy Carroll, kind of not doing a lot. But he actually runs around quite a bit, drags defenders. He gets the hustle goal here, and not an easy finish. So, you know, I've been slighting him on the podcast, but I gotta sing his praises right now. Wout, there it is, baby. Let's go. What a goal.
Whistles go, wout, wout. So that was halftime. What do you think Erik ten Hag said to the boys in between the two halves?
Eriksen, get a goal. 54th minute, Eriksen hits the crossbar. This one.
I know.
What an effort from Eriksen. Oh, my God. I wanted this goal for him so bad. 57th minute, Garnacho comes on for Rashford, who's injured. Let's keep our fingers crossed there. 58th minute, Martinez finds Bruno with a great ball. The Portuguese places a cross, but slow. Wow, it can't get there, unfortunately.
I kid. He had a
Forrest
good game.
Forrest come back.
He's not fast.
Forrest clap back here. Casemiro, like it's his pocket picked in the 60th minute. They get a good shot. 70th, double sub. Fred and Facundo for Eriksen and Anthony. Love to see Facundo out there. There's rumors about a loan deal, I think, to Valencia. I don't want to loan him. I want him to play. We have tons of games. In the 79th minute, he put in a great cross, but Wout didn't do much with it. If he connects in a different way, I think this is at least on target, pushing the goalie into a save. But great cross from Facundo there. 85th minute, Alanga for Wout. And then, sir, in the 89th, we'd wrap it up 3-0.
Portuguese Magnifico, sir. Let's see it.
Pulisic. Williams did pretty well. Bruno Fernandes. That does it. A 3-goal away win for Manchester United should make the home leg of this semi-final a formality.
Sir, Bruno does so much right on this play. He, first of all, comes up with this insane pass to find Facundo Pelester in the first place. Alanga scoops it over to him, and then he just smashes it home after the boys, the young lads, can't get it done. What a goal. Great performance, I thought, throughout from Bruno. He gave the ball away like he does any game, but he created a lot of good chances and gets a goal. And he's in good form at the moment, deservedly so. Had a number of good passes throughout. He gets his goal. We kill off the game, sir.
Look, we win this game easy. We had two tough results. We bounce back and win big in a game we should, in a competition that we're really favorites to win it all. We need this trophy. Carabao Cup.
Carabao.
Absolutely. Can't wait. Can't wait to get in that final at Wembley. That'll be electric. Manchester United at Wembley, just a special scene. Regardless, if we're in a final, sir, we're going to be absolutely going nuts for this one. Match stats: United 15 shots to Forest 13, on target 6 to Forest 4. We had 68% of the ball, dominated them at the City Ground in their house. Match reaction: Bruno Fernandes' goal was his 100th goal involvement for Manchester United in all competitions. 56 goals, 44 assists, his 155th appearance for the club. We didn't get a lot of signings right in the last 10 years. This happens to be one. And only Erling Haaland, 31, has scored more goals than Marcus Rashford, 18, among Premier League players in all competitions this season. And, man, imagine if we had both those players on our team.
Don't say it. Yeah, him Bramber and Jude
Bellingham. Could have signed him for nothing. We could have signed him twice, and we didn't.
Sir,
so,
we could have bought Moyes Caicedo for £4.6 million, and he's going to go for like 60 this window, probably. He's a player, too. All the players that could
That's
have been.
That's what we like to do. Yep. They're basically like Manchester United's transfer strategy is like our jersey buying strategy. Every jersey of a player we buy is absolutely cursed. Every player that we buy is cursed, except for Bruno Fernandes. And Marcus Rashford is the first Manchester United player to score 5 goals in a single League Cup campaign since Carlos Tevez in 2008-2009. And boy, do we miss those times. And in that competition, which was named the Carling Cup, we did win it in 08-09. But what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Erik ten Hag.
Well, performance given the disappointing results last week?
I think we, from result perspective, we bounce good back, quite clear. And I think the performance was over 90 minutes also okay. There was one moment in the game what could have changed the game. And we have to avoid that. It is it's a learning moment in a way to develop a really good team. But I think all over the first 20 minutes was all ours, and I think we played really well on the ball. And from the start, of course, great goal, Ressi again with that opening goal. But also after that, we create some cool chances. But then, yeah, we allow them almost to come back in the game, and it can't happen. So I say it's a learning moment. I think from that perspective here, second half was much better, much more calm. I think that we never allowed them a counter. We created ourselves more chances. Finish early on, 3-0, that was the better. But all of, I think, the 2-0 just for halftime was an important one because that brings calmness in the team. It was a great action from Anthony and the rebound from Wout Weghorst. Therefore, it's the striker. That's why we caught him in.
You said about Anthony there.
So that was all one question. I'll tell you what, if you were to watch an Erik ten Hag interview muted, you would have, and this one in particular, you would have thought we lost the game 3-0, which is what I like about this manager, is that he's a hard man to please, happy about the result, controlled large parts of it, but right, we mentioned it in the timeline, there were parts like in the 22nd to the 30th minute where Forest had their chances. Obviously, they scored that goal that was overturned, rightly so, because the lad was offsides. But the man has high standards, incredibly high standards, and that's what you love to see, because this club was built on high standards, and it's great to have a manager who understands that in order to get back to the place we want to get back to, like, nothing short of perfect is going to get you there, because there's a lot of great teams, a lot of great players and good managers, and even then, doesn't guarantee success, right? We've seen that with City, with PSG. They spent billions, and they still haven't won a Champions League. So it's going to take all the stars to align, sir, and I think we found our star manager.
Next week, Wednesday, it's going to be the second leg. It's going to be at Old Trafford, February 1st, against Nottingham Forest. Newcastle and Southampton will play Tuesday, so we'll know who we're going to be playing at Wembley ahead of the game. Like I said, Newcastle has a 1-0 lead on Southampton in the first leg, so it looks like Newcastle should be able to dispatch Southampton. And short of a miracle, we're going to Wembley. And like I said, first trophy in a long time, first trophy in podcast history. Can we break on through to the other side? Are we just going to continually... Or should we do penalties all the way to De Gea, have a miss? What do you think?
Stop it.
Like, you forget how bad that was.
I know.
Was like,
it wasn't
everyone
long
goes,
it wasn't that long
De Gea,
ago.
Oh no.
Oh my God. Gdansk, what a place.
We gotta
one day we'll go to
Gdansk.
No, I'm never rewatching that game.
It's we got to rewatch
it's not
rewatching. Like,
it's not rewatching. If we win the league or the Champions League, one of us will lose a bet, and then the loser has to watch the whole game.
Okay, if we don't win the Carabao Cup final, we're going to rewatch that.
I'm not rewatching that game, because the Carabao Cup will be painful enough losing to Newcastle.
It's only 2.5 hours of your life that you can't get back.
Only 2.5 hours of your life with, like, no shots on target. Fred,
ending
first
the season.
Yeah.
And also end the season.
That's when the death spiral truly began.
Season's not over.
Sorry.
Season's not over. We got next match. It's another competition. This one has a little more shine. It is the FA Cup. This is the oldest trophy in footballing history. It is the founding trophy of the FA. It is a huge deal. It is the fourth round. We're playing Reading, sir, Saturday, January 28th, noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Reading is 14th place in the championship. Paul Ince, former Manchester United player, is their manager. So you got the Manchester connect. The fix is in 14th in the championship. It's going to be Clap City. Manchester United going to be rolling Reading here. But Lifetime versus Reading, we've won 14, drawn 7, lost 1. First time we played them, 1912. We drew 1-1 in the FA Cup. Last five against Reading, we won all five. Last time we played them was 2019. We won 2-0 in the FA Cup. Last time and they were in the Premier League, 2013, when we won our last title. So that is how long ago, ladies and gentlemen, Reading was in the English Premier League the last time we won the title, and that is a long time ago.
It certainly is, sir. And the manager, team, they're going to want to rotate, and they should, because we got a lot of games coming. But another cup competition. Also, I was looking at the fixtures. City's playing Arsenal, so it gives us an opportunity for one of the – I hate to refer to Arsenal now. It's like a big dog. But, like, one of the top teams in form in the league is going to get knocked out in this. So Reading is a great draw. We're lucky not to get another Premier League team because there's no easy Premier League matchup. I guess maybe the other than Nottingham City, Nottingham Forest for us recently. And this is just another opportunity to win silverware, sir, because getting to a final is not a guarantee. We know that too well when we got sunk by that yellow submarine. Hopefully do the deed in the energy drink cup and FA Cup. That's a real piece of silverware. Now we're talking. I'd rather win an FA Cup than a Europa League, another Europa League. But I understand the Champions League qualification is like the true sweetener there. But hey, Reading, old school match of yesteryear. Looking forward to this at Old Trafford, where United is really starting to enjoy themselves. It's fun to play back in that crowd.
It is the 142nd edition of the FA Cup, which is the oldest football tournament in the world, sir. It'd be nice to win it. We are in the fourth round proper. They always say there's all the rounds, and it's got to be first round proper, second round proper. I don't know why they put the proper in there.
Obviously, they actually put a proper in there?
It's a proper. You look it up, it's like fourth round proper. I think that's hysterical. Obviously, you got to, you know, keep it formal here on the American Red Devils. It is the fourth round proper. A lot of teams left in this competition. What comes after the fourth round proper? It's the fifth round proper.
And then?
And then you get to, then quarterfinals.
Got it.
Not proper. Semifinals, not proper. And not a proper final. But look, it's a competition with rich history. Glad to be a part of it. Reading will be a good team to play. And obviously, Paul Ince on the touchline. You always like to see former Manchester United players having a go at management. Coming into this game, Reading drew Norwich. They got beat by West Brom 1-0. They beat Watford 2-0. They drew QPR 2-2. And Stoke battered them 4-0. Sir, so they've kind of been all over the board. A little history on Reading. They're nicknamed the Royals due to their location in the Royal County of Berkshire. They were previously known as the Biscuit Men due to the town's association with Huntley and Palmers, which I'm going to guess
it's a biscuit company. I looked it up. Big biscuit company.
Yeah, it is. Huntley and Palmers is a British company of biscuit makers, founded in 1822. The biscuits go deep, deep, deep into the early 1800s here in Reading. Established in 1871, the club is one of the oldest teams in England, but they did not join the Football League until 1920, and they first played in the top tier of the English Football League season in 06, 07, when we were a proper club. Back in the day when, you know, we talked about all those titles. The club has played at Elm Park for 102 years from 1896 to 1998, and in 98 the club moved to the Majeski Stadium, which is named for the club's former chairman, Sir John Majeski. And in 2021, the club announced that the ground would be known as the Select Car Leasing Stadium.
I had to include that. How good is that?
Select Car Leasing Stadium for a decade.
A decade.
I would like to know how much the select car leasing company paid. If you go to selectcarleasing.co.uk.
For future sponsor of the American Red Devils.
I don't think it costs a lot of money to sponsor Reading Stadium, so maybe the American Red Devils should have had a shout at that one. But regardless, they play the 5-3-2. You're not going to know too many of these players as they are 14th in the championship, but we can't overlook them. It is an important phase of the competition. I do think we'll see a lot of rotation. Let's get into the Manchester United side of things. The injuries, Donny van de Beek out for the season. Luke Shaw, he's sick. Jadon Sancho is still training. Delo has that thigh injury. And Twan Zabi was in training, actually. He was spotted in training. Shout out to Twan Zabi making a comeback. I hope Erik ten Hag can give him a shot. We're big fans of Axel on this podcast. Always rated him. You know, he did a job for Villa coming up during promotion and, you know, hasn't really gained his footing, but we're a big fan. So Twan Zabi here. And obviously Martial trying to come back as well. So some injuries, a lot of people on the bubble, given those are the injuries. What is your lineup, Alex?
Who I got? I'm going to give Dave Saves a rest. We got a lot of games coming. We need to keep his palms fresh. So I'm going to do Heaton in net. AWB, Maguire, Lindelof, Malacia. I'm going to do McFred with Bruno, Garnacho on the left, Woutberger with cheese up front, and Facundo Palestra on the right. So what you got?
I'm going to say De Gea, AWB. I'm going to do Magu, Martinez, Malacia. Then I'm going to say Fred, Casemiro, Bruno. I'm going to do Garnacho, Wout, and I like putting Facundo up there as well. I like that type of rotation. Got to keep the midfield strong, in my opinion. Give Fred, I want to see Fred and Casemiro clicking a little more. Booking the bookies, what are the odds?
United heavy favorites, -950 for the win at Old Trafford. It looks like plus 700 for the draw and plus 1600 for Reading. Almost 20 times your money for lowly Reading to knock out Manchester United of the Cup. Sir, given those are the odds, what is your score prediction?
Say 3-0, get the clean sheet, score 3, get the kids on to the next one.
You took my prediction. I was going to say 3-0, so I'm going to say 2-0. We do the job, clean sheet. Maybe Marcus comes off the bench because it's goalless and he gets another goal. And we just keep this gravy train rolling. Let's do some news.
United in the news. We're going to start off with the sale. If there was a real title that we're going to win this season, it's going to be this one. It's going to be getting the Glazers out of our club. We love talking about everything on the pitch. Thirsty for trophies, hungry for signings, but we're dying to get the Glazers out of this goddamn club. Lots of news breaking. The sale process is heating up. All the journos kind of saying obvious things that have already been known. This week, they're breaking news. The whole thing's for sale. We got news for you. If you listen to the American Red Devils podcast, we told you they got a sale. There's no partial deal that could be done here. The capital structure of the club has to be completely revamped. They've mortgaged the mortgage. They've put the mortgage on the credit card. And they've tried to come up with a fake person to bury in the backyard. That's how in debt this club is. No one's going to give them any money. No one is too big of a hole to dig out of. And because of that way, you just need someone to come in and buy the asset. The question is, how much are you going to pay? We said something like $6 billion. They're holding the line at $6 billion. The problem with the $6 billion is you're going to have to be putting two in, at least probably $2.5 billion. If you want to be conservative, $1.5 billion for the stadium, $1 billion for the squad. You know, you're even talking $3 billion. And it's like, and that's why it's like you buy a car. It's not the price of the car. It's the money you got to put into it. You know, if it's like one of those classic cars.
It's like an antique car. It's like an old Jag. That needs a lot of work.
Yeah, and you keep going back, and the guy keeps telling you. And that's where Manchester United is.
That's a great analogy, by the way. Shout out.
Yeah, so whoever's looking at this car, you know, you're looking at that stadium. You're like, go inside of it. You're like, oh, my God. Yeah, no, we got to, like, tear this down. Well, how much is that? And so that's really where the rubber is going to meet the road. That's really why the only bid I could think of is going to be some foreign, you know, oil money. That's really the direction. I like everyone's talking about Ratcliffe. Then, you know, who does Ratcliffe own? He owns Nice, I think, and they're not doing well. No. So he hasn't done well as an owner there.
No, he hasn't.
So everyone's kind of digging up dirt on him. Well, he wasn't a fan of Nice when he was a kid. So at the end of the day, I think it might be a little different. But with Ratcliffe, it's going to have to get a little tricky, like selling the naming rights to Old Trafford, et cetera. Like, you're going to have to see some way to recoup some of the money. If you just get a nation state, it would just be like dropping billies on the club and just build it. You know,
yeah,
it's just a different, yeah, it's a different thing. You don't have to worry about that. You're like 10 billion, no problem. Like,
yeah,
that is what the Premier League is becoming.
Yep.
For better or for worse, it is becoming the nation state show off show. And, you know, we don't have a nation state. We got, six rich kids fighting over every drop of that dividend. So the news here is that they are going to full sail, which, again, like I said, the capital structure should suggest that. Next steps are going to be in a few weeks. That's going to be the first process of teasing out real bidders because everyone's in the data room right now. Then it's going to be term sheets and take on from there. They're looking to sort of solicit official bids here in Q1 and then look to close it sometime this year. It will not be closed before the summer transfer window. I think the bankers were putting that out there, but that would be a tall ask. 6 to 9 months to close a deal like this, I think, once you have agreement on terms, just because it's going to be a very hairy deal with the Glazers.
I'm sure they're tough negotiators, sir. They want every dollar they can get out of this club because they think they earned it. But most importantly, there is going to be a sale. It's going to be a full sale. They can't hang around the hoop no longer. They sucked every dollar out of this club, put it on its knees. They sold the wheels. They sold the engine. They sold even the seats of that old car, sir. And we got to build it back with a new owner. I don't know what we're going to get. I don't know if we're going to get Radcliffe at a consortium, if we're going to get a Middle Eastern buyer. We're hearing a lot of noise about Dubai, maybe an American private equity company. That would not be great. But I can't imagine whoever it is going to be worse than the Glazers. I mean, there's a couple people that could be, but like for the end of the day, we've seen what they've done to this club. We've seen how little they've given a shit. We've seen how little that money they put in. It's not even just like how much money they've taken out or how much debt they put on the club or how many dividends they took. It was just like the negligence. The negligence is the thing that bothers me the most. It's like 2013 to 2022 to 23 now did not need to play out the way it did given all the money they spent, and they just like fucking lit it on fire, pissed it down the drain. Chop shop, manager to manager, no director of football. Ed Woodward, biggest fucking dunce in the history of sport. Arguably one of the worst executives ever in the modern era. Like, he'll be up there. I mean, his tenure is truly impressive. And they just
Dave Gettleman was pretty bad for the New York Giants. Just get a shot that out there.
Big Giants guy. I know, but sir, everyone's looking at United.
He's pretty bad. They
didn't fall too from the heights that this great.
No, Woodward's worse. I'm just but like the fact that they did not fire Ed Woodward tells you everything you need to know.
Until the Super League.
It's because A, he was a little rat. Exactly. He was a little rat.
Yeah, exactly.
He was running that
in
thing.
Rat company.
And that blew up in his face spectacularly. You love to see it. And he was just doing well on the commercial side and they let him just ruin the football side. Right. So there's no person there running the show. That's the problem. Problem with Manchester United is like the CEO's a yes man. The board only cares about making money. So there is no football priority. Otherwise, John Murtaugh wouldn't be your director of football. Next bit of news here, Simon Stone, Manchester United confirmed they will replace the executive seats in the Stretford End with general seating from the end of the 23-24 season. The move was agreed following talks with the fan advisory board. This is aimed at improving the atmosphere at Old Trafford. When you're selling the club, you might as well give the fan advisory board a win a year after you leave.
It's true. It's true. I mean, I'm shocked like, they had so executive savage, seats at the Stretford right? End, which just like that's a Glazer decision, horroring out, right?
Of
they did that
it
revamp
is.
In the mid 2000s. It was all about like more corporate boxes that they could sell to even players, which is a little bit of a controversial thing during Woodward's tenure. But it is true, sir. It's like you're giving them like a chicken nugget like a year after they're gone. And they're gonna knock this fucking stadium down, by the way. Like, Old Trafford, a historical landmark.
Hey, I'd love to see it as a Stretford End season ticket holder.
Indeed, sir.
As a Stretford End season ticket holder, I like just saying that. It's like, you know what? We're not near the executive seat, sir. We're up there standing the whole game, screaming with swollen feet until we lose our voices because that's where we want to be. We want to be with the common man up there on the proper side of the Stretford End, making the right noise. not near the executive seats. That being said, if they put in some more seats, maybe we can move up a few rows in a few years. So I think this is good news. Stretford End should be rowdy. If you haven't sat there or watched the game there, it's the place to be. You know, I've sat in different parts of the stadium, and it's kind of people sit down, people try to sing the songs, etc. And it's kind of awkward. But you go to Stretford End, it's like, it ain't awkward. It's like, you're not singing, you're awkward. So you got to get ready for it.
It's a special atmosphere. It's special atmosphere, sir.
It's world famous.
It is, and it feels world famous when you're there. Big cup tie, big match against a rival. Fans are in full voice. It's only gotten better as the fans are falling in love with this manager and this new squad. And there's bright times ahead, sir. New owner, whoever they may be. It's going to be better.
Lads walk out right there.
Joel Glazer. Look at that crew. So this is good. Old Trafford's coming back, baby. He's coming back, and I'm excited for the cup tie on Saturday because we're just a different animal playing at home these days.
Yeah, and the tunnels right there that come out, right? It's like it's an awesome place to see a game. So, you know, if you're ever thinking about going to Old Trafford, definitely check out the world-famous Trafford End. Let's get into fan questions here. At Rolling Deep 1995, stats will show that this game was a lot closer than what the scoreline says, but sirs, we have the advantage going the second leg and should see things out at Old Trafford. Is Rashi really the Mancunian because he is out of this world at the moment? On we go. Absolutely. Rashford, lightning hot. And we're coming back to Old Trafford in front of the world-famous Trafford End to close this one out. At Ty Kircher, as close to perfect an away leg as you can ask. 3 goals, a clean sheet. Healthy, hopefully, job done. I like to see some decent rotation next week. Rashford is at another level. Happy for Wout Train to leave the station. Good
I like that.
Form overall onto the FA Cup. At Michael Magalis, quote, textbook center forward performers from Big Wout. Excellent at helping the attack get into the attacking third and make some solid off-the-ball runs. Facundo needs to stay and provide Antony with some quality competition on the right. What do you make of Facundo versus Antony on the right?
I mean, I think we have so many matches that we're going to need bodies. Now, obviously, Sancho is going to get back in the fold eventually, but there is an argument to be made that, like, you know, certain games, Wout, maybe he's not best suited, and you push Marcus Rashford, who looks like he can play number 9 at the moment because he's just finishing everything he comes across. Because I think the rumor that you're hearing about, like, us looking back at the loan market is because Tony Martial, I would imagine his injury is worse than they want it to be. And he's out again, and that's unfortunately just the track record of Tony Martial at Manchester United is he's always injured.
That's why I should have been the director of football, sir.
Sir, my oldest son could be a better director of football than Woodward was, as would you be as well. But either way, all I'm saying is, like, I think it's good to have him around. He seems to be a player. He starts for Uruguay often, and they went to the World Cup, and he's a top player. He's young, and we have so many matches. Now, I know the manager has been reluctant to, like, switch it up with his favorite guys, and Antony is his favorite guy, but Reading's a great opportunity to do so. The second leg of Nottingham Forest at Old Trafford is a great opportunity to do so. And the boy's got talent. And even Alanga, he did well today. He's been out of form for sure for a while, sir, and we know that, but he had a nice assist to getting that ball to Bruno before he smashed it home for the third goal.
At Blue Vol 1976, quote, great way to bounce back from Sunday. Annette N. Maybaugh 13, quote, couldn't have asked for a better result. Should be able to give a lot of rotation to the squad for Reading and Forest, part two, or going to Wembley. At Jamal Mota, sirs, I love this football. Rashford is in beast mode. Wout looked great. Scored a scrappy poacher's goal. He'll get more than the 3.5 goal odds. Antony will come good as well. Casemiro's CDM GOAT. All praises to Erik ten Hag and the VAR gods on to Wembley. Hashtag Glazers out. Look, love our fans. Great fan questions here. Great tweets. Great comments. I think the big takeaway is Rashford just continues to be the man. We get a little bit of rest here, some rotation ahead of this run in the league. And if you look to the league, we finish up our FA Cup, EFL Cup here. Goes Crystal Palace, Leeds, That's gonna be
fun.
Believe
that shit? Do you believe that?
Then Barca, Leicester, Barca, Brentford, Scousebusters, Southampton, Brighton, Newcastle, Everton, Nottingham Forest, Chelsea, Tottenham, Villa, West Ham,
everything
Wolves,
to play for, sir. Everything.
Bournemouth and Fulham. Man, I can't believe we're almost in February. This is crazy. Time is flying by. Lots of football to be played. It really comes down to how deep we're going in these cup competitions, too. Like, it's really the FA Cup and the Europa League, how many games we play. And you look at our roster, like you said earlier in the podcast, sir, it's like we haven't had any major person go down. So let's hope we can stay healthy, because we need everyone, mainly Marcus.
Everybody. You need Marcus. You need Casemiro. You need Bruno. You need Martinez of Veron. It's like you need them all. Unfortunately, we got five.
Well, we need Martial.
I know we do. We do. Yeah. And he doesn't look.
We do.
He's not even in training. He's not even in training. So that's why Wout's starting every game, because he's the only one.
Wout's undroppable now.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's fucking insane. But it's not, but like, what an amazing, it's not like the transfer window's open or anything.
Great point.
Like, what the fuck are they? I know, they're doing it. They're selling the club. Sorry. We're back in it, sir. Glazers get me fired. No. Apologies.
That's our title. Like, if we, here's the deal. If we don't win any trophies and we don't make Champions League and the Glazers sell the gosh darn thing, like, that's a win.
That's true.
You got to sell that. That's the biggest win you could ever get. That's like a multi-decade win. That's a 20-year win. Like, getting them out of the club, getting this thing recapitalized, getting the right ownership, getting the right CEO, right director of football, it will change the game, and it will change the game for the long term. That's our title, you know. Carabao Cup will come and go, but the title is getting the Glazers out of this thing. Look, that's it. That's the podcast. You like the Mercury Devils? We are four fans, by fans. Support us. You know, this is grassroots. It's just me and Alex doing it for the love of the game. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/Mercury Devils. Check out our store, americadevils.store. Everything you buy supports this podcast. Like, subscribe, write a review, all those great things. Sir, you got our top 10 downloads last 7 days.
You know it. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Tappahannock, Virginia, apologies in advance, pronunciation, Columbus, OH, Ohio, Indianapolis, Indiana, New York, New York, Norristown, Pennsylvania, Centerville, Virginia, Solon, Ohio, Jackson, Mississippi, London, England, and last but not least, Lagos, Nigeria. We also have Grimsted, Norway on the list. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. Whew, sir, Eric Ten Hag, he's cooking something up at Old Trafford. And guess what? Guess what? We are one step closer. The Reds are excited. We're the famous Man United, and we're going to Wembley, sir. Have a great week, everybody.
Wembley! Wembley!